Question number 1, 2, 6, 7, 8. Mr. Ernest Jones, reel 14.
Jones, reel 14. So, what did you do? How did you resolve this problem? You weren't making any money because you were doing too good.
I was just making a bare living on my own. And I was lodging with my brother at Oaken Gates. And I used to come home to Shrewsbury at weekends and see my girlfriend at the weekends. And then I was there, and a friend that used to be in Shrewsbury, that was a friend of my girlfriend, came over one day to see me. They'd got a car and they brought the girlfriend with them. And this friend said, "Ernst," he said, "don't you think that you could do better if you had a better place to do it in, and a bigger place?" I says, "Well, perhaps so," because I was only in the one room shop. And she said, "Well," she said, "there's no place as I can see about here that you could have." She said, "Why not have one built?" She said, "A wooden one. You make out what you like," she said. "Make a diagram out of where you could have one built as wood and put it on a piece of ground here and have more room." So I did, and it come to £56. And I showed it her, never thinking anything about it, but that. She said, "You go to the builder and tell him to start do it," she said. Have you got any mind of any place where you can put it?" I said, "Well, next to the post office, there's a spare piece of ground. I think it belongs to an insurance agent here. I'll go and see him to see if he'll let me put it there." I said, "It's pretty central there." And she said, "You get it built," she said, "get it built for it, and I'll find the money." She said, you can pay me back just as you can. If it's only a pound a time or what you can spare," she said, "but I think it'll be good for you." So I had this place built, and I had a separate place for doing my repairs, and a doorway, and then I had a counter, small counter, and a bigger window, and I started selling new boots, new stuff, you see. And really, I was doing fairly well.
Did you make the shoes you sold?
Oh, no, that had gone.
Yes.
Nobody would pay you the price for anything. The shoes were coming too cheap in the marketplaces and all that, you know. And really, I mean, I was too much for the district, the trade, you know, because I'd been taught to do good stuff and use good stuff, and of course I bought shoes that were good. I didn't have the market rubbish that was being sold in the markets. I had branded shoes that were good. You see, like Portland, you've heard of Portland shoes. C&A of Cridland and Rose of Bristol. I had Northampton made shoes from manufacturers. From Leicester, I had ladies' shoes.
And when did you open this shop? About what year was that be?
Oh, no. I'm a bit easy over this now, but as regards the times or anything of that, it's that I can't remember that so much as the army thing.
And was that a successful business?
To a certain extent, and I started a boot club. And I got a lot of miners there, you see. There were three pits close by. And I got a lot of miners lived there. And I started a boot club. So that they could come and give me money, you see, and have card and get the money in and then have a pair of shoes with it. Well, of course, it come to this. They'd pay so much, you know. They'd pay half the price of the shoes they got. And they'd say, oh, Mr. Jones, could you let me have another pair of shoes? I'll give you sixpence extra if you could let me have another pair. See? So, of course, me, soft-like, let them have another pair and, well, I'd get sixpence extra sometimes. And it turned over that they were having the shoes before I was getting any money for them. You see, it worked around that way. And I was the one that was holding the cash strings, like, and belonged to me. But they were paying so much a week. While they paid, it was all right. Everything was going well. But there come a general coal strike. And that spoilt everything. They stopped paying me. I couldn't pay. I was paying my bills out of the money I was drawing from selling those that I'd got. When that stopped, I couldn't pay anything on my bills. So I was put in the court. And I got, on top of my bill, I'd got court fees, solicitor's fees, and that on top of my bill. And I hadn't got the money. And I couldn't get it off them. I was put in the court. I put one or two of them in the court to try to get some money. And the judge put a shilling a month on them, and then they refused to pay. I said to the clerk of the court, I said, what can I do now? He says, you take out an high court writ, he said. He said, but that'll cost you more than the job's worth. He says, you're better off leaving it alone altogether. He says, or else you'll lose money on it. Well, that's how it went, and then in the meantime, I was there in the shop one day and the chap walked in and he says, you Mr. Jones? I said, yes, I am. He said, you see what I got here? So I said, what is it? He said, it's an High Court writ. He says, I'm to collect £20 off you. He says, or else I've got to take you down to Shrewsbury Jail for 28 days. Well, good Lord. Yet I'd got all this money out to win me. I said, he said, have you got it? I said, I haven't. He says, well, I don't want to do it, he said. I don't want to do it. He says, if I stop away for a fortnight, he said, do you think you could manage to get it in the meantime? I says, well, I can try. I said, I'll do my best. He says, for goodness sake, don't let anybody know that you've seen me. Because I'm supposed to see you personally and hand it over. He said, and then he said, I'll come in a fortnight. I said, well, he come in a fortnight. I scraped and scraped and I got the £20 together. And so I saved my bacon of going down to Shrewsbury to for debt for 28 days. And then from then on, that was the 20s and 30s, and the trade was terrible.
But you managed to keep going.
Yes, well, I managed to keep going, and I got married. And I married the girl that he... And she was a good one. And... We got on well and we were very happy together.
Now, that's probably where we sort of come to a half end. because, you know, we only deal with the war. How did you, how had the war affected you physically and mentally? Did your feet ever get better?
No, every winter I was on, I had to come to Shrewsbury, to Windsor House, which was the clinic that we had treatment in for pensioners. And I used to have to come there twice a week to have sirloin baths and one thing or another, and massage and one thing on my feet, because they were going bad every winter. And then I think it was about 4 winters or 5 winters, and the government got a bit fed up with all this, you know, having these clinics about the country. They closed all the clinics in the country, and we were told, go to your panel doctor, get your treatment from your panel doctor. The panel doctor didn't know what to do with us. He got no idea, and we left us high and dry. That was what the government did to us in 5 years after the First World War. They just washed their hands of us. I was getting 5 shillings a week pension. And then I had to I had it for 12 months. Then I had to go for a medical board at the end of 12 months, and the medical board would take my pension off me, and I should be 12 months without any pension till my feet went bad again. And then I said, I have to put in again for pension, and then perhaps they'd get it back for 12 months. That's how it was going on, until I put in for about the after a few years, I put in for treatment again, and the government sent to me and said, I'd got to see, before treatment could be given me, I'd got to go to see the medical referee. And so, of course, I thought, oh dear. And I went to see the medical referee, and as it happened, it was Colonel Lawrence of Wellington, and he was an old RAMC colonel. So he had a look at my feet, and he said, what pension are you getting? I said, none, sir. He looked at me, he said, no pension at all. I said, no, sir. Why? I said, it was taken off me at the last medical board. Where did you have your medical board? I said, in Wellington here. Who were the doctors? I said, Dr. Mackey, Dr. Prentice, and Dr. somebody else. He looked at me and he says, those buggers that had never been out of England took your pension off you. He says, as soon as you finish this treatment, come back to me. He said, and I'll send you somewhere where they'll know what they're doing. And he sent me to Lionel Street, Birmingham, to before 3 orthopaedic specialists. And I never had a chance to say a word for myself. They shut me up if I tried to tell them anything. And I come away and I thought, that's finished it. A month later, I had a letter from the pensions people, 20% for life. Now, you see, people knew what they were looking at. And now, I was in hospital 3 or 4 years ago with my feet.
Still now?
Yes. And I was, and after I'd come out of hospital, the orthopaedic specialist didn't know. They'd never seen anything like it. They didn't know what to do. They tried giving me injections in my spine to boost the circulation in my feet, and it was all a washout. All they did was to send up my blood pressure. And anyhow, I put in for another medical board. I was just getting worse. I had another medical board, and
that's just 4 years ago.
Yes, and then they put it up to 40%.
So you're still getting that now?
So that was 40%. Now then, this last last winter they started to get worse again, and they're getting now, they were getting that I couldn't walk on them, you know, to do any good at all. And I thought to myself, what, I put in for treatment and I was sent to hospital again. Well, they couldn't do anything. They didn't know what to do. And I was discharged from the hospital here, and I had a letter from the two orthopedic specialists telling me that they were very sorry that they couldn't do anything for me at all. The only hope that my feet would not be so painful in future. And I put in for another medical board. And a fortnight ago, I had the result, 50%. It put up to 50. So I'm waiting for the, now to come through when they're going to pay me the 50%.
Do you feel you are reasonably treated overall with your?
Oh, yes, yes. I think the pension authorities have been reasonable with me.
Ever since that colonel?
Yes.
Intervened.
Yes.
What about, did you have any mental problems after the war? You know.
Oh, never, never.
Didn't affect you that way?
No, I never had no mental.
What about malaria? Did you ever get that again when you got back to England?
I had it once. And I had a case of, and the funny thing about it was, when I'd got better from the malaria, I started dysentery. No. And then, but anyhow, I got over them, and I haven't had them.
Do you think the war was worth it, as far as you were concerned?
Taking it on the whole now, I'm better off through it, if you would like to think. Things have worked to the extent that now I've got enough to live on and a little bit over.
So your pension from the war helps you?
That's
out.
Right. Well then, you see, in 1939 I gave up my business. My son was at the Newport Grammar School and he wanted a military career. He was going to be there till he was 18 and going to pass exams, going to Sandhurst, and he was military. He lived for it, absolutely lived for the military. Now, my father was the same, but it didn't come out in me, it come out in my son. And he absolutely lives for military. And I got the post office, and my business wasn't doing very well, and the post office wasn't paying very well. The post office never paid too well.
You had a post office as well?
Yes. And so he said, and his mother wasn't very well, and so he said, Dad, he said, and as it happened, they were building Donington Ordnance Depot, you see, a mile away from where I was. And they used to come to my office for insurance stamps. The quartermaster used to come for insurance stamps to my office. And many a time he said, hey, I could do with you in my office. I used to laugh and say, I expect you could. And I thought no more of it. And one time he come in and he said, thought any more about that job I offered you? I said, no. No, he said, yeah, I could do with you. I said, what good should I do to be in your office? He said, you know, do what I want to do. I said, I'm no clerk. So he said, you're doing post office work and you're no clerk. You could do what I want you to do if you could do post office work. Because my wife was a good scholar. She got certificates for written shorthand, for typewriting, for business correspondence and all that. And she more or less tutored me. And although I left school when I was 12, with doing the post office work and all that, I was getting that I could do.
Besides your cobbling.
Eh?
That was as well as your shoes.
Yes, that's right, yes. And so my son come home and he said, what about you taking that job at Donington, he said, and letting me leave school, he said, and come and look after the post office, he said, and I'll get in the army as soon as I'm 18, he says, and I'll work my way up that way. So, anyhow, we talked it over, and I thought, well, it's something anyhow. And when the quartermaster come up next time, he said, thought any more about that job? I said, yes. He said, have you? I said, yes. When do you want me? He said, this afternoon. I said, I can't leave here like that and go down that. I said, I'll come in the morning if you like. He says, righto. He said, you come down 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll take you before Colonel Edmund and I'll get you in my office, he said. And so, of course, I went into the civil service then as a temporary clerk. And I was with him for 18 months. And then he was posted away. And the colonel sent for me and said, Mr. Jones, we're in a fix. Can you run that post, that wages office? I said, well, I know more about it than anybody else, I think. So he said, I can send you some engineer clerks as we've got coming in, he said, to help you. He said, now, he said, if you can run it for us, yes, we're very glad. So I took over wages department, and he sent me a couple of engineer clerks. You see, they used to come in to do their 2 years, and they used to come like bank clerks and solicitors clerks, you see, and of course they'd come as clerks into the army, into the Royal Engineers, and of course they come to see me, and I come on, and then I was there for a year or two, and the colonel come to me one day and he says, I wonder if you can do something for me. So I said, well, if I can. He says, do you think you could go down to Leamington Spa? He says, the CRE there is in a bit of trouble. He says, in the wages office. He said, and he's a friend of mine, he said, and I told him that I think you could straighten it out for him. So I said, well, I will, I said. He said, now, he said, I've got a good clerk here, he said, that will be able to take your place while you're away, he said, with the others helping. He said, and so if you can go, he said, now I'll let him know. And he said, but you'll have to be there the week and you'll have to go into lodgings. He said, but of course you'll get lodging allowance and everything like that. So I went down and I was... they'd got a place ready for me for lodgings, and I saw the CRE, and he said, Mr. Jones, we're in a bit of trouble. He says, I wonder if you can straighten it out for me.
So you were a civilian at this time?
Eh?
You were still a civilian?
Yes.
Civilian clerk?
Yes, I was a civilian clerk. A grade 2 clerk I was then. And I got to know this. I was fathoming out all this thing. And I found out that the one that was in charge of the wages office there had 6 men on the books that were non-existent. And he'd been drawing 6 men's wages every week. But he was off sick. And they couldn't understand what this extra wages were. And of course I got... and found out all this, you see. And of course, he was, he had 3 months jail for it. And anyhow, I straightened all that up and everything, and I came back to Donington. Then, not many months after, he said, Mr. Jones, I got another job I'd like you to do for me. He said, they're in with the trouble at Kemmel Park at Rill. He said, the wages office there, he said, they'd like to have somebody there who's going to straighten up a bit. So he said, do you think you can go for me? I said, well, if we can have the same arrangement. So I said, yes, I will. But so, of course, I went up there and straightened that out for them. That was bad clerks. They'd made a mess of things, terrible.
That was just incompetence.
That's right, yes. Anyhow, I straightened that out.
So you were in this business to the end of the Second World War?
Pardon?
You were a clerk to the end of the Second World War?
Yes, yes. And but while I was down at Leamington Spa, I was down there about 3 months. And but the colonel allowed me to come home to Shrewsbury on Friday night and go back on Monday morning, which was a very big concession, see? And so I got on very well with them. And then they took the wages office from Donington to Copthorne Barracks at Shrewsbury. And I had to go with the wages office. And of course there I was at Copthorne Barracks for ever so long, travelling from Trench by train every night and morning, see. Of course they paid for it. So I've been moved about a bit. Then there was a civil service examination coming up. I went in for it and I passed. And I was made clerical officer. And then I went on from there. And I did 25 years in the post, in the civil service. I retired in 1962. And I got the civil service pension. So I've got my army pension, civil service pension, and retirement pension, the old age pension. So really, I'm comfortably off.
Thank
and and